The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" You may have a lot of ambitions and goals, or you may already be a millionaire. But none of your possessions or accomplishments is nearly as important as your life. Salvation is a matter of life and death, not just this life, but the life to come. It should be your greatest concern because it can deliver you out of evil and eternal death. We would like to share with you something that is more important than earning the whole world. To protect the well-being of His creation, God established laws for us to obey. But God also created man with the freedom to make choices. He wanted human beings to obey Him out of free will rather than compulsion. We can choose to either obey God or sin against Him. Adam and Eve, the first human beings created, chose to listen to God, to Satan, the tempter. They disobeyed God's specific command, and so sin entered the world. Since then, man has fallen into a state of alienation from God. Though man was created to be like God, because of disobedience, he no longer has God's eternal life in him. Through the sin of Adam, the whole human race has been sold as a slave to sin. Everyone born after Adam lives in sin, under the rule of Satan. The Apostle Paul explained the frustration of battling against the sinful nature in each of us. In Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Even with the best intentions to obey God, we still sin against God because we are under the powerful control of sin. But we can't blame it all on our sinful nature because we, like Adam, often make a conscious choice to disobey God. Our actions show that we are sinners as much as Adam was a sinner. A sinner may not be a criminal. In fact, most sinners are law-abiding citizens. Crimes are committed against people, but sins are committed against God. When we transgress against God's law or go beyond its boundary, we have sinned. According to God's law, if we do not worship God our Creator and do not love Him and serve Him with all our heart, we have sinned. If we hate someone, we have sinned. If we look at a woman lustfully, we have sinned. If we do not love others as ourselves, we have sinned. The list goes on and on. Could anyone then declare themselves as sinless? As the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our transgressions prove that we are sinners from birth. Sinners have no peace or joy. They are condemned with the curse of death from God. All have to die physically and face God's judgment. The fact that no one has ever managed to escape death shows that everyone is a sinner. In Romans 5, verse 12, we are told, "Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned." We have no hope except the fearful expectation of eternal punishment of our souls in hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This punishment is called the spiritual death or second death. Because of our sinful nature, it is not possible for us to earn eternal life. Without God's salvation, we and every single person that has ever lived are spiritually dead in sin. No amount of kind deeds or acts of obedience can save us from our dreadful destiny. To keep our souls from the eternal punishment, the only answer is God's salvation. Out of His great love for His children, God promised salvation to us. But if God were to simply overlook all our sins and bring us to heaven, He would be denying His inherent truth and justice. God's law condemns sinners to death. To deliver mankind out of sin, God had to look for someone who fulfills all of His commandments and has never sinned. Only a sinless person could mediate for the sins of the world. But no one born of Adam could be perfectly sinless because the whole world lies in sin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, we are told, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." Therefore, God Himself had to become man to fulfill the righteous requirement on behalf of humanity. This man is Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. As a human being, Jesus was also tempted by the devil, but He was without sin. He was subject to weakness, but He overcame temptation. Through Adam, we were all sinners, but through Jesus Christ, we can now be free from condemnation. Whoever sins against God must pay the penalty of his sins. According to God's law, a priest had to offer an animal as sacrifice to God, and then sprinkle the blood of the animal on the altar. The animal would bear the transgressions of the sinner. But the blood of animals cannot take away sins. It was only a foreshadow of the true sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the perfect sacrifice that bears all our sins. The Lord Jesus, who represents humanity, had to lay down His life, His own life, as a ransom for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us with His own blood, which was shed on the cross. Those who believe in Christ are saved from the control of Satan to become God's treasured possession. The Lord Jesus rose from the grave, victorious over death. He was exalted to the highest. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. By Christ's death and resurrection, we may have eternal life in Him. He now continues the work of salvation. He washes away our sins when we receive baptism in His name. He cleanses us when we ask Him for forgiveness. He also pours out His Holy Spirit to help us obey God and overcome temptations. One day, He will come again to bring us to the heavenly home that He has prepared for us. What must we do to be saved? Our salvation is by grace through faith. If we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast." You know, we could not work our way to heaven by good deeds. We can only receive the free gift of salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. While it is God alone who saves us by His grace, we need to respond to God's calling through faith in order to be saved. This response of faith is expressed through belief, through confession, through repentance, through obedience. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we are told, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to receive salvation. Faith is more than mental consent. It means complete acceptance, complete trust and dedication of ourselves to Christ. Faith must also persist throughout our lives. If we make a lifelong commitment to the Savior, He will save us as He has promised. Not only do we need to believe and confess that Jesus is our Savior, we must also believe that the Bible, which testifies about Christ, is true. Furthermore, we need to believe in His only church, the body of Christ. Because Christ has sent the church to preach the gospel of salvation and to administer the sacraments for salvation. We must repent and obey. Repentance means turning back to God. And it is a necessary act of faith. A repentant sinner must leave his sinful life and make a determination to obey God's word. He must walk by the Holy Spirit and aim for purity and love in his life. Obedience is the practice of faith. Without it, confession of the Lord's name would only be lip service. Although obedience by itself is not the basis of salvation, it demonstrates our faith in the Lord. The Lord Jesus had said to a young man who asked about how to receive eternal life, He said, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Faith in the Lord also means accepting the sacraments. The sacraments, which are baptism, foot washing, and Holy Communion, are specific commands from our Lord that have God's saving effects. Christ washes away our sins in baptism. He offers us a part with Him through foot washing, and He gives us life through the Holy Communion. The use of physical actions or elements for the salvation of the soul is beyond rational explanation, but they are required according to the Lord's own word. If we have not received the sacraments, or have not done so in the manner taught in the Bible, we need to receive them in accordance with God's word in order to be saved. By the grace and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are justified. To justify means to declare someone righteous or to acquit him of his crimes. Its meaning is the opposite of condemn. We are sinners who deserve to be condemned. But if we are baptized into Christ through faith, Christ's righteousness becomes ours. We become justified freely based on the merit of Christ's saving work. In Romans 5 verse 9 says, since therefore we are now justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We are spared from the condemnation of God's law. When we fail and sin in our Christian walk, Christ is there to speak on our behalf. It says, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Thanks be to God for the continuing mediation of Christ. Sinners live in a guilt, in a constant guilt and fear, because as lawbreakers, they are under God's wrath. But through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, we may come to God with confidence. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, we read that once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Having reconciled us to Himself, God pours out His love, His peace, and His joy and comfort into our lives. Those who have peace with God also live at peace with others. They can love others instead of hate. They can forgive others instead of retaliate. In the church, believers from different ethnic and social backgrounds can unite as one body through the blood of Christ. The reconciliation of Christ makes peace and harmony a reality. You hear sometimes the word regeneration in Christianity. Regeneration means being born again or receiving a new life. This new life is the eternal life for those who believe in the Lord Jesus. It is also a transformation in our day-to-day lives. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Regeneration is possible because of the gospel of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read, "You have been born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." God, through Christ and His promise, gives His life to us, the believers. Regeneration is through the baptism of water and the Holy Spirit. The Lord told Nicodemus, the ruler of the Pharisees, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Through baptism, God raises us from spiritual death. He gives us His Holy Spirit to create a new being within us. Therefore, we who have been baptized may live a renewed life, a life that is pleasing to the Lord. While we were in sin, we were strangers to God's household. But through our belief in Christ, God adopts us as His children and makes us a part of His household, the church. Not only does God forgive us, He calls us His own. He also gives us the Holy Spirit as evidence of the adoption. In Romans 8, verse 16, it says, "It is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God." As children of the Heavenly Father, we may receive grace, peace, and a place in His kingdom. We are entitled to the heavenly inheritance, which is given to all who put their faith in Christ. When Christ comes again, God will also transform our bodies into spiritual beings, like the glorious body of the resurrected Christ. We sometimes also talk about sanctification. Sanctification is the setting apart of believers to conform to God's perfect nature. God calls believers out of the darkness into light through the blood of Christ. And He gives us a new identity as citizens of heaven. He frees us from a sinful and meaningless lifestyle and enables us to be the light of this world through good deeds. In addition to giving us a new identity, by His grace, God continues to purify us with His Word and His Holy Spirit throughout our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, "God chose you from the beginning to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." If we always examine our thought, our speech, our conduct, and our goals with God's Word and seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit, God will keep us blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the power of God, we will receive glory at the coming of Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." When our lowly bodies become like the glorious body of Christ, salvation will be fully realized. Salvation is not only an important subject, it is also an urgent issue. While taking your time to decide may seem harmless, waiting just means remaining under God's wrath and condemnation. The Bible tells us, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't wait until you get your degree, finish enjoying life, or retire from your career. Time is not in your hands. What if today is your last day? God has given you today, so you are accountable for your decision today. Call on the Lord Jesus now. Come into His church and decide to walk on the way of salvation. God is ready to accept you. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened."